Well, God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire.
Amen.
Stories of the healing of a blind person, like the one we read in our gospel passage today, always pique my interest in a special way. I was never blind like Bartimaeus, but I don't take my ability to see for granted, because I know it came at the cost of a lot of effort from my parents, doctors, and nurses. I was born with strabismus, or crossed eyes, which made my vision very weak. Many of my early memories involve going to pediatric ophthalmologists and children's hospitals for surgeries. After several surgeries, my left eye became strong, but my right eye became a lazy eye. I wore patches on my left eye often to strengthen my right eye. I assumed that wearing giant paper sunglasses for dilated eyes was just a normal part of life, and that finding ways to take off patches when my parents weren't watching were just what all kids did. Part of the reason I thought this was because I had a best friend named Sarah, who was born the day after me. Together, we went through various treatments and surgeries as our parents did everything they could to ensure that we would both be able to see well. After my family moved multiple times farther and farther away, and successful surgeries for both of us eventually allowed us to pursue our own interests, Sarah and I lost touch. However, when we reconnected on Facebook more than two decades later, I found her favorite quotes, which were, first, quote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else," by C.S. Lewis. And "One's destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things," by Henry Miller. As you may have seen in emails from me, my favorite quote was and is from a few lines of a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. "Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush of fire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes." I found it fascinating that after decades of our toddler friendship and years of relentless commitment by our parents to give us the ability to see, we both knew that vision was much more than just the physical ability to see, and valued a deeper understanding of what it meant to truly see in our world. Today's gospel passage ends a section in which the theme is spiritual blindness. This section began a few chapters before with the healing of another blind man, and since then there have been multiple instances of Jesus predicting his death and describing the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God, and each time his disciples don't get it. They cannot see Jesus for who he is. They cannot see what he has come to do. Then, as Jesus is on his way out of Jericho, he passes Bartimaeus. Now, we're told that this man is blind and a beggar, both of which were signs in their time that at least he was not blessed by God, and more likely he was probably actively displeasing to God in the opinions of people around him. He hears that Jesus is coming by, and he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When he does this, many in the crowd order him to be quiet, but he refuses, and he yells even louder. Now, like I said, this is an end of a section about spiritual blindness. The section began with another healing of a blind man, but in his case, the crowd carried him up to Jesus and begged for his healing. But now the crowd is telling this blind man to hush. We can't know for sure what the difference is, but Bartimaeus' claim that Jesus was the Son of David was certainly a political statement. This name carried messianic claims, and particularly ones of earthly political kingship in a time that was already fraught. The people around him were likely scared of their Roman oppressors and wanted to keep the peace. The way things were wasn't necessarily good, but there was no need for Bartimaeus to make them worse. So they just tell him to hush. They just continue on with the way things are. But for Bartimaeus, things are not acceptable the way they are. Today we would probably call him desperate or needy. Then or now, he's not behaving in a way that's considered acceptable. He's embarrassing, and frankly, he's just a little too much. But Bartimaeus refuses to be quiet, and eventually Jesus hears him. He calls Bartimaeus to him, and he throws off his cloak and runs to Jesus. For this man, a cloak would have been his primary possession. It was the majority of his clothing in that day. It was the only thing he had to keep him warm and to cover him when he slept, which likely would have been outside. It likely also would have been where his pockets were to keep whatever money he had been given while begging. As a blind man, when he leaves his cloak in the crowd, it's an act of great faith, because if he remains blind, it's unlikely that he'll be able to find his cloak again. Yet he throws it off to run after Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, he is asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus replies, "Let me see again." Jesus responds that his faith has made him well and he is healed. And Bartimaeus is able to see again and begins to follow Jesus. Now, this particular story is about physical blindness, but our section in Mark is really talking about spiritual blindness, about the realities in our world that are all around us that we refuse to see. In the longer passage, it is actually Jesus' disciples who most need to be able to see, but they don't even know it. And so they do not ask for the thing that they need most. When Jesus asks him what he can do for them, he asks the exact same question that he asks later to Bartimaeus. His disciples answer that they want to be the greatest in heaven. These are the people closest to him on earth, and they have trouble seeing what Jesus is about, what he's here to do. And so, as we are his disciples today, I wonder, is the same true of us now? If Jesus asked us what we want him to do for us, what would we answer? Most of all, do we really want to be able to see? Do we really want to see the realities of our world that we regularly ignore? It's not that we don't know that there are problems around us, but many of us aren't quite comfortable with our own lives. We at least know the way that things are now, and we're afraid to stir things up too much. We quiet those around us like Bartimaeus who keep calling out, those who threaten to rock our comfortable way of being. But my friends, the way things are is not okay. Perhaps we are much like those earlier disciples. They weren't okay either. They were under Roman occupation and there was incredible violence and oppression in their land. But it seems like they hoped that if they kept their head down and stayed quiet politically, they could keep on with their lives as they were. But it wasn't true, as we know from history. And it's not true for us either. This week has made that very clear. The violence of this week has been overwhelming, even if it didn't touch us directly this time. Throughout the week, bombs were intercepted on their way to most major critics of the president. On Wednesday, a white supremacist in Louisville killed two African Americans at a grocery store after trying to enter a black church. And then yesterday, we had another mass shooting in a house of worship, this time the worst attack on Jews in our nation's history by a man shouting anti-Semitic slurs. Weeks like this make it impossible to shut our eyes to what's going on, but are we really ready to open our eyes and see the causes of this evil? Are we really ready to dig deep and see what part we play in the hatred towards African Americans and Jewish people? As a country, racism is deeply a part of our history, and as Christians, we invented anti-Semitism and have made it flourish for the past 2,000 years. These are part of who we are, and we must open our eyes to see them before we can ever be healed. Often they lurk below the surface. Usually we are not as blatant about them as others have been, but they are part of our history nonetheless. And until we are willing to see the truth of our history as a people, hatred and violence will continue to rear its ugly head among us when we pretend to be blind to the cause. I don't know all the nations of what our nation needs. I don't know all the answers to what our nation needs, but I know that the way we are living is not the way God created us to be. I know that festering hatred, growing resentment, and suspicion of those who are different is killing our souls, and that starts here at home. We must be a community that's different. If we are to follow Jesus, we must see a way to find the divine in each other, even when they are different from us. One thing I've been told over and over since moving to Peoria is that we are a city of silos. And in my experience so far, I have found this to be true. We have our own groups, and we often don't work together, even when we have common aims. I don't think we can continue that way anymore. Our nation is at a precipice, and we must begin to be part of the change we need. I believe that one way we can do that today is to reach out to the Jewish community here in Peoria. Since yesterday, I have seen the incredible fear of my Jewish friends, which has been growing for the past couple years, but is greater than ever after yesterday. It's a very small thing in the face of such violence, but I believe we have to start somewhere, and we must start here in our own community. There are cards in the back on the table. After the service, I encourage you to take time to write a note of love and encouragement to our Jewish neighbors, and we will take them to the local temple this week. It's a small thing to do, I admit, but I pray that for us, this is the beginning, not the end. I pray that we are all willing to be healed, to let our eyes be open to the way we contribute and the ways we can also take part in healing others. I pray that we will be the crowd that carries people forward for healing, not those who hush the ones who might disturb the status quo. I pray that we are willing to throw off our cloaks and whatever is most important to us so we can run after Jesus, because we need him. We need him to seek the lost. We need him to bring light to the darkness. We need him to set the captives free, and we need him to announce good news in the midst of despair. We need Jesus to show us how to move forward when it seems that there is no way. We need him to make us who are blind able to see. We need him to heal us. Amen.